Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 8:06 here at WCCO. I am so excited to introduce you to those who don't know David Schultz. He's political science professor at the Hamline University. Why is he joining us? Well, the clock is running out on the recent continuing resolution passed by Congress, and a government shutdown is scheduled to start on Friday. Now, to dig into more D.C. dysfunction, we welcome our dear favorites, and he is definitely one of them. It is our own David Schultz over here at WCCO. We just love him. And he's Hamline University political science professor, and he's joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you, sir. Okay, so let's just jump right in. What in the world is continuing resolution?
What a continuing resolution is basically Congress can't get its job done to pass a real budget. So what it does is say, we're going to kick the can down the line. We're going to do some temporary spending measures and then just push the issue off to a future point. And so what happened under U.S. law, Congress is supposed to have a budget in place, signed by the president by the end of September. And it's almost never happened in all the years the law has been in effect. And so what happened in October is that they literally kicked the can down the line and said, okay, what we're going to do is we're just going to keep the government spending at the current levels for now. We're going to wait and basically authorize about 30 days of spending. Well, that 30 days is, I think it was 45 days, if I remember correctly. That 45 days is coming up. And if Congress and the president do not agree on a budget by next Saturday, I believe next Friday, Saturday, then we will have what's called a partial government shutdown, that some of the functions will shut down and will just cease to work until they actually fund it.
So how is it that they get a chance to do this every year now? It used to be, you know, maybe 4 years or 5 years before they do that again. And all of a sudden now, it seems as though we're going through this every year.
Yeah, I think part of it is all about the polarization in our society where it is so evenly divided. And it's not just party polarization. It's really, I'm going to say, it's ideological. And especially what you have is a small group of Republicans known as the Freedom Caucus, maybe no more than, you know, a dozen or so, who I'm just going to say don't like government and don't want to fund it or don't want to fund very many functions. And because Congress, or rather the Republicans, have such a narrow margin in Congress, they need these people to do something. And instead of saying, let's forge a bipartisan proposal that has moderate Republicans and Democrats, the Republicans insist on trying to pass something with a straight party line, and therefore these few people essentially get to veto what's happening.
If you were able to do this at Hamline University and I was able to do this here at WCCO Radio, yeah, that would not happen. I would be fired. You would be fired, right? And I don't understand why they get to do this. Why do they get to do this and nothing is being done about it? No one seems to be coming forward and saying, we got to change what these people are doing. We got to change and go back to the way we did it to make sure that this is done so that our country can actually continue to exist.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, ultimately, the theory is supposed to be that the voters act. But the problem becomes at this point sort of twofold. One is that, as I always say to my students, we don't really have a national legislature or a national Congress or House of Representatives. It's 435 separate people representing separate districts. And for many of these representatives, they are sort of doing what their people back home said they want them to do, go off there and don't support the government, et cetera, et cetera. So that's part of the problem. It's just the basic structure. But also, this is not high on people's lists. It ought to be. It ought to be something really important that people say come November 2024 and say, you voted to shut down the government, the heck with you, and you're out or something like that. Voters don't do that. Incumbents have a lot of power. Incumbents have the power of, well, we're going to call it incumbency. And it's hard. It's hard to dislodge them, But let me suggest something. And I've talked about this for many, many years, even at the state level. Because remember, at the state of Minnesota, we've had problems about getting the budget done on time and partial shutdowns. We could have something that they do in Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, what it's called is an automatic continuing resolution. And in Wisconsin, if they don't pass the budget by the required date, the entire budget, existing budget, carries over in effect until a new budget is passed. So there's never, ever a danger of the government shutting down. We ought to do something like that at the national level to make sure that we don't have this problem, because the people who are going to feel it the most, if the government shuts down next week, the people who are going to feel it the most are the most vulnerable. It's going to affect people getting food stamps. It's going to affect people who are getting who are on what women infant formulas, children. The most vulnerable in our society are the ones who are going to feel it, and Congress won't feel it at all. And why? Because under the Constitution, they're required to be paid, even if nobody else is being paid.
Why is this not labeled treason?
I know. It's bad. It's really bad. I mean, there's no way you can put a happy face on this or say what happening here is good. I can't imagine anybody out there. There's probably a lot of people out there who are running small businesses, or their household having to balance their checkbooks or anything end of the month, and who would say something like, well, heck, if I don't pay my bills, if I don't have everything in time, most of us have hell to pay for it. Anybody who's run a business, you just can't sort of say, well, heck, I'm not going to pay my bills. I'm not going to do my budget. I'm not going to pay my suppliers. I'm not going to worry about it. You're not in business too long.
Yeah, exactly. We are listening or talking with David Schultz. If you don't know who he is, he's political science professor at Hamline University. If you'd like to call in and make a statement or text us, you're welcome to do it at 651-461-9226. David, the thing is, you know so much about this, and so does so many other professors and other people that are really involved in government. And what is happening in our country is that we have these satellite states or these satellite cities that are working hard to make sure that none of this is accomplished. I don't understand how they get to do that. I don't get to do that as a black woman who is not in politics. I don't get to do that. Why can't we do a referendum, on the ballot to say, okay, who agrees with this and who says this, and let's see how we vote. Because it's ridiculous to me. You're destroying, or they are destroying, the country I love.
Yeah,
they are destroying
No, you're right. And also think about it in terms of, and I think I read over the weekend that I think it's Moody's or one of the bond rating services is saying, listen, with all the problems you're having, it's going to affect your credit rating. And again, if you or I did it, Hamlin did it, if, you know, WCCO did it, in terms of this kind of stuff, you can darn well be sure it would have an impact on credit rating or your ability to borrow and so forth. All right. So the way I describe it to my students also for a lot of these problems here is that we have on one level a matter of pride. We've got the oldest written constitution in the world, which is nice. The bad part about it is we've got the oldest written constitution in the world. It was written in 1787, written for what I describe a horse and buggy era that we're now trying to have it operate in the 21st century. And in many ways, there's still a lot of good things about our Constitution, but I'll describe it as what? Old and creaky. And one of the things it doesn't handle well is a significant disagreement like this. Our Constitution was never designed. Our framers truly hoped that we wouldn't have our country divided by political parties. So there's all kinds of assumptions that I talk about in my American politics class that our framers had that, I don't know, they didn't anticipate. The way I describe it sometimes is that either A, the Constitution worked well, but it's out of date, or B, it had some original design flaws, like, and those flaws have really only come out more recently in the last, let's say, 10 to 15 to 20 years. I haven't decided which theory I ascribe to, but there certainly needs to be fixed. And your point about saying, can't we do a national referendum? No, we can't, because the Constitution doesn't allow for it.
Wow, that's amazing to me. Sir, do you mind us, we got to pay some bills. Do you mind holding, and we'll be right back with you?
Excellent. Perfect.
Thank you so much, sir. That is Professor David Schultz. We love him here at WCCO. He's at Hamlin University professor, and he is going to come back in just a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. We really appreciate you sticking and staying with us. It is now 8:21, and we really appreciate you sticking and staying. If you want to call in and make a comment or text us, it's even better, 651-461-9226. All right. So Dr. David, I always call him Dr. David Schultz is joining us, political science professor at Hamline University. Are you a doctor, sir?
I have a PhD,
yes,
not medical doctor, but PhD. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, you do. Okay. So let's talk about what we are really looking at from state to state. Are the states starting to scream about this? And if not, Are our allies screaming at us about this? Because this is not just affecting our country. It's affecting our allies' country. Am I correct?
You're absolutely correct. So up until about 2 weeks ago, I spent about 2 weeks recently teaching across Europe, including like Eastern Europe, countries like Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, countries that are right on the border of Russia or Ukraine. And what they're incredibly worried about is the fact, from a kind of an international security issue, they're worried about the fact that we may not be reliable. Part of what's happening right now is we're not giving more funds to help Ukraine out, and they're wondering, are we a reliable ally? Are we there? And also, when they look at us, they look at what's happening internally and see this dysfunction. Historically, they turned to us as the role model for democracy. Now we kind of look like, I don't know, an episode for them. They're trying to be kind to me, but they say, you're not exactly, the role model for democracy or how to get things done anymore. So from that score, not being good in terms of our image, not being good for our image of democracy, perhaps not assuring our allies that we are there. This is not very good in terms of what's happening right now. So
it's awful.
What happens internally has big implications externally. And as one person mentioned to me, I was at the Lithuanian Military Academy. He said, "Do you think China and Russia governments are looking at this with some kind of favor?" They probably are.
Absolutely.
They're saying. The United States is at a vulnerable point, and we are right now. I mean, we're at a vulnerable point where for a while we didn't have a Speaker of the House. Now it's not clear where our budget is, and are we going to be operating at full speed in a week or so? This from a foreign policy and a national security issue, is a scary place to be in.
It is. And I must say, when you said democracy, it reminds me immediately of the Congress. It should be the entire Congress involved in making these decisions. But I am only hearing from the Republicans. Why is that?
Well, the rule generally has been in Congress that, and I say this to my students, how is power allocated in Congress? First, bipartisanship. Whichever party has control of the chamber gets to do what it wants. And for so many years, when the two political parties were much more cooperative, it sort of didn't matter, But now where the parties are so far apart, it truly does matter here. And one of the rules under this Republican House of Representatives is that nothing gets to go to the floor unless it gets support from the Republicans first, which basically guarantees it's not going to get to the floor, since many people say right now the Republican Party is divided across 3, 4, 5 different factions or groups. You could have a scenario where there's probably a majority out there. You put together the Democrats, you put together the more moderate Republicans, you've got a governing majority. You truly do. However, the way the Republican Party is so divided and the rules that they set up for the House right now, it makes that impossible.
Impossible. That's the word that scares me the most. It appears that not only are the Republicans doing what they want to do, not necessarily what the people of America, of the United States, want us to do. And if we're not listening to one another, how in the world are we ever going to come together and make sure we're making decisions that make sense for all Americans?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, one of my teachers once said a long time ago that the true essence of leadership is listening. And I think that's true more than anything else. It's listening to people, and it's being, and in the old days it used to be, I think it's still even in business right now, it's sometimes, what's the old phrase, better a half a loaf than not an entire loaf or no loaf at all. And it's the idea of saying that government is supposed to be about compromise and negotiation. And yeah, okay, so maybe this time you lose the issue if you're the Democrats or the Republicans. You work together, and then the next election, you work like hell to defeat the other side. But in between, it's supposed to be, I think, at least there's the theory, country first, party second.
Right. Yeah, but it's not working out, is it?
No.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but my future, my understanding of the future, what I think it will be, I'm not happy with that. So, you know, just having you join us tonight, I feel a little calmer. Dr. David Schultz, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me, and thank you to the audience.
All right, sir. Hope I can call on you again.
Of course, always. Bye.
All right, bye. Political science professor David Schultz, Dr. David Schultz from Hamline University. We love him, and we are so grateful to have him here at WCCO Radio. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back with our 8 o'clock, 8:35 guest. Stay tuned. It is now 8:31 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. Our next guest is a freelance writer and photographer. And who is she? Lisa Myers McClintic. Now, the holiday shopping season is about to hit its peak. Oh, man. Every time that happens, I have to take a deep breath. And if you haven't started yet and are starting to dread the crowds at the big box stores, then why not head to one of the historic downtown districts in your area? Lisa Myers McClintic recently wrote about some of the hot spots in an article for Explore Minnesota. Now, the freelance writer and photographer joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to highlight some of these destinations. Welcome, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks, but I'm laughing because I feel the same way. I've hit a few stores lately, and I want to hyperventilate and leave right away.
No, it's so true, right? That's why so many people are online, right?
Yeah, it's just there's something about it's like too much and it's too in your face. And if I can find a small town or a downtown, it's just a totally different pace and a different experience. So
the thing I like about small towns when it comes to the holidays is that you find really unique gifts, gifts that don't cost a ton of money. It's just something that makes you smile. You look at it and go, aw, I want that, right? You don't see that everywhere, but these small areas where you can go, it's really quite remarkable how they touch your heart. It's very tender when you get a chance to see these new ideas that they have for Christmas ornaments and so much more.
Yep, and when they're locally made, too, or the owner is involved in making something, it connects a memory to that gift, too. So it's not just something purchased. It's tied to a memory and an experience and just makes it that much more memorable.
For those that are new to town, new to the Twin Cities, for Minneapolis, the historic downtown districts in your area is mentioned. And, of course, I want to know, where are they? How many are there that are actually labeled historic?
You know, I've never counted it, but, you know, usually the oldest downtowns tend to be when you follow the riverfront, you know, like Anoka or downtown Minneapolis. If you go to Hastings, St. Paul, Red Wing, I mean, if you find the rivers, those original ways of getting people transported from here to there, that's where you're going to find the oldest downtowns. Like Stillwater is a great example if you don't want to go far and you live in the Twin Cities. I mean, they've got some of the best shopping anywhere in the state, I think, and it's so walkable, and they've always got lots of events and things going on. You can get antiques, you can get clothing, you can, you know, those small town candy stores that smell so good and you walk in the door, children's gifts and things. So that's a great starting point if you don't want to go far. As a travel writer and someone who does a lot of day trips, I tend to want to go farther just because I itch to get out of the house, especially towards this time of year. So it's kind of a nice excuse, too, to find some of those other places within an hour or two of the Twin Cities as well.
Okay, so Lisa, don't direct me to a place where I can get candy. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't you love, though, walking into those stores?
And oh,
it
I do.
Smells so good, those copper pots. And, it, you know, and actually, if you go online, I mean, there are some amazing candy stores in the state that will ship. I'm blanking out on the one up on the Iron Range that's been around forever, Cane Lakes, I think. And they're connected to the family that has Great Lakes Candy Kitchen up in Knife River on the North Shore. And, I mean, there's just so much history behind them, and it's just fun.
Yeah, it's fun and it's great, but it's candy, you know. You know, what about books and that sort of thing? I mean, there are so many places that really offer great gifts, you know, especially when you look throughout the Twin Cities, throughout the state of Minnesota even. But here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and so many other small areas as well, it's really quite remarkable what people are making, and they're putting their crafts out there, and people are buying them. They're absolutely beautiful. Sometimes people say, you know, popsicle sticks, you know, it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. I've seen some incredible pieces, right, that have been made out of popsicle sticks. And so for me, it's about touching my heart. The tenderness of that one moment you see it and you go, "Oh, that's special." And I'm sure you run into that quite often.
Yes. And the other thing, too, that kind of fits in well with you know, downtowns as well. But, you know, if you're in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota History Center, the Walker Art Center, Minneapolis Institute of Art,
I mean,
all those museums, even county museums have incredible, fun, whimsical gifts and things that are locally made or, you know, really rich in the local history. And I mean, like, I live in St. Cloud and we've got a wonderful Stearns History Museum up here. And I mean, one of the best gifts we ever got was those little fighting nuns you could put on your hands and they'd like punch each other. Our great aunt just loved those because she grew up taught by the nuns and she thought that was the best gift. And I mean, she was someone who had everything and it's like, oh, perfect.
Right. And how does this then, and when you put these two together, right, those small things like you just mentioned, up against the big box stores, you know, all of a sudden, when we're talking about two totally different existence, right?
Yep.
And I don't want to go into the box stores anymore. I don't. So what do you say about that? How do you get us to go back in?
I think, you know, make a day out of it. Make it something that feels good and is enjoyable. One December I went to Chaska and spent the day exploring Chaska. I mean, that's not that far of a drive. You could have a nice, fun, affordable lunch, you know, take a grown child or a younger child. I mean, you can make it into a nice memory. It doesn't have to feel like a chore of shopping if you, you know, kind of switch your mindset a little bit that way. I mean, think of all the people who go, like, to Duluth now. You know, they do the Bentleyville and some of those, you know, Christmas City of the North Parade. And, you know, it turns into more than just shopping. It's like the whole holiday experience. But definitely leave time to just check out those local shops. Like Duluth has Frost River, Duluth Pack, all those wonderful art galleries. You mentioned books, which that's a huge go-to for our family, too. I mean, we've always loved, like, cookbooks and travel books. Mm-hmm. There's so many local authors in this state. I mean, whether you're looking for fiction or nonfiction, like Doug Wood has a Wild Path book out. He's the one who wrote Old Turtle and is very into nature writing. Patty Wetterling and Joy Baker's Dear Jacob book, that's been doing really well. And the bookstore owners, they know what the best local books are, and they can make stellar recommendations. They're so helpful that way.
Yeah, and of course, I like just the small things at thrift stores. I was just at a thrift store not long ago, and I saw so many wonderful things I could cherish, right? Like I'm playing backgammon again. I used to love that game. And seriously, my honey and I, we started playing it and playing it and playing it, and I'm having a blast, you know, just reconnecting with even checkers, right? People can go to the thrift stores and collect those sorts of things as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely. thrift stores, antique stores, anything that trips the nostalgia and simplifying things is fantastic. Have you been to Lark Toys and done their Memory Lane walk at all?
No, where's that?
Oh, I love it. It's Lost Art Revival. I can't remember what it stands for. I'm blanking out. I'm sorry, but it's Lark Toys, and it's this phenomenal, basically a mini mall that is south of Wabasha and Kellogg. And they're the ones that have that fabulous carousel that you can ride for, like, it's $1 or $3.
Oh, right.
And there's the otter and the bison and the goldfish and the wizard, but they've got this Memory Lane part, and it has all these glass cases just stuffed with the best toys and games from every era, and it's such a hoot to go through there and just remember that, or my sister had that, or my best friend had that, and I was always so jealous, and it's just hilarious just to stand there and listen to other people walk by, too, and share their memories, because those memories of toys and childhood are just, they're great. They're so much fun to listen to, and you can buy a lot of the nostalgic toys, too, if you can't find them at thrift stores, but that's a great place to start looking, and some of them are being reissued, but it's just fun to kind of reconnect with those old memories and why a particular toy stood out to you.
Yeah, of course, I remember ugly ties and ugly socks. Let me tell you something about ugly socks. The thing I love about them, I can tear them up, honey, and just say, I love you, but you have to go now. Because people are going to see you in those socks because they're so warm, right? And then you feel so good in them. And then people are going, why? Why, Geraldine? Why are you doing that? Why?
Yeah.
There's that. Anything else you would advise people to really look for? Some people will go to the same store that they love every year. I like the idea of spreading out and see what else I can find. You agree?
I do.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 8:31 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. Our next guest is a freelance writer and photographer. And who is she? Lisa Myers McClintic. Now, the holiday shopping season is about to hit its peak. Oh, man. Every time that happens, I have to take a deep breath. And if you haven't started yet and are starting to dread the crowds at the big box stores, then why not head to one of the historic downtown districts in your area? Lisa Myers McClintic recently wrote about some of the hot spots in an article for Explore Minnesota. Now, the freelance writer and photographer joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to highlight some of these destinations. Welcome, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks, but I'm laughing because I feel the same way. I've hit a few stores lately, and I want to hyperventilate and leave right away.
No, it's so true, right? That's why so many people are online, right?
Yeah, it's just there's something about it's like too much and it's too in your face. And if I could find a small town or a downtown, it's just a totally different pace and a different experience. So
the thing I like about small towns when it comes to the holidays is that you find really unique gifts, gifts that don't cost a ton of money. It's just something that makes you smile. You look at it and go, "Aw, I want that," right? You don't see that everywhere, but these small areas where you can go, it's really quite remarkable how they touch your heart. It's very tender when you get a chance to see these new ideas that they have for Christmas ornaments and so much more.
Yep, and when they're locally made, too, or the owner is involved in making something, it connects a memory to that gift, too. So it's not just something purchased. It's tied to a memory and an experience and just makes it that much more memorable.
For those that are new to town, new to the Twin Cities, for Minneapolis, the historic downtown districts in your area is mentioned. And, of course, I want to know, where are they? How many are there that are actually labeled historic?
You know, I've never counted it, but, you know, usually the oldest downtowns tend to be when you follow the riverfront, you know, like Anoka or downtown Minneapolis. If you go to Hastings, St. Paul, Red Wing, I mean, if you find the rivers, those original ways of getting people transported from here to there, that's where you're going to find the oldest downtowns. Like Stillwater is a great example if you don't want to go far and you live in the Twin Cities. I mean, they've got some of the best shopping anywhere in the state, I think, and it's so walkable, and they've always got lots of events and things going on. You can get antiques, you can get clothing, you can, you know, those small town candy stores that smell so good and you walk in the door, children's gifts and things. So that's a great starting point if you don't want to go far. As a travel writer and someone who does a lot of day trips, I tend to want to go farther just because I itch to get out of the house, especially towards this time of year. So it's kind of a nice excuse, too, to find some of those other places within an hour or two of the Twin Cities as well.
Okay, so Lisa, don't direct me to a place where I can get candy. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't you love, though, walking into those stores?
And
it smells so good, those copper pots. And, you know, and actually, if you go online, I mean, there are some amazing candy stores in the state that will ship. I'm blanking out on the one up on the Iron Range that's been around forever, Cane Lakes, I think, and they're connected to the family that has Great Lakes Candy Kitchen up in Knife River on the North Shore. And I mean, there's just so much history behind them, and it's just fun.
Yeah, it's fun and it's great, but it's candy, you know. You know, what about books and that sort of thing? I mean, there are so many places that really offer great gifts, you know, especially when you look throughout the Twin Cities, throughout the state of Minnesota even. But here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and so many other small areas as well, it's really quite remarkable what people are making, and they're putting their crafts out there, and people are buying them. They're absolutely beautiful. Sometimes people say, you know, popsicle sticks, you know, it's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. I've seen some incredible pieces, right, that have been made out of popsicle sticks. And so for me, it's about touching my heart. The tenderness of that one moment you see it and you go, "Oh, that's special." And I'm sure you run into that quite often.
Yes. And the other thing, too, that kind of fits in well with you know, downtowns as well. But, you know, if you're in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota History Center, the Walker Art Center, Minneapolis Institute of Arts.
I mean,
all those museums, mm-hmm. even county museums, have incredible, fun, whimsical gifts and things that are locally made or, you know, really rich in the local history. And I mean, like, I live in St. Cloud, and we've got a wonderful Stearns History Museum up here. And I mean, one of the best gifts we ever got was those little fighting nuns you could put on your hands and they'd like punch each other. Our great aunt just loved those because she grew up taught by the nuns and she thought that was the best gift. And I mean, she was someone who had everything and it's like, oh, perfect.
Right. And how does this then, and when you put these two together, right, those small things like you just mentioned, up against the big box stores, you know, all of a sudden, when we're talking about two totally different existence, right?
Yep.
And I don't want to go into the box stores anymore. I don't. So what do you say about that? How do you get us to go back in?
I think, you know, make a day out of it. Make it something that feels good and is enjoyable. One December I went to Chaska and spent the day exploring Chaska. I mean, that's not that far of a drive. You could have a nice, fun, affordable lunch, you know, take a grown child or a younger child. I mean, you can make it into a nice memory. It doesn't have to feel like a chore of shopping if you, you know, kind of switch your mindset a little bit that way. I mean, think of all the people who go like to Duluth now. You know, they do the Bentleyville and some of those, you know, Christmas City of the North parade. And, you know, it turns into more than just shopping. It's like the whole holiday experience. But definitely leave time to just check out those local shops. Like Duluth has Frost River, Duluth Pack, all those wonderful art galleries. You mentioned books, which that's a huge go-to for our family too. I mean, we've always loved like cookbooks and travel books. Mm-hmm. There's so many local authors in this state. I mean, whether you're looking for fiction or nonfiction, like Doug Wood has a Wild Path book out. He's the one who wrote Old Turtle and is very into nature writing. Patty Wetterling and Joy Baker's Dear Jacob book, that's been doing really well. And the bookstore owners, they know what the best local books are, and they can make stellar recommendations. They're so helpful that way.
Yeah, and of course, I like just the small things at thrift stores. I was just at a thrift store not long ago, and I saw so many wonderful things I could cherish, right? Like I'm playing backgammon again. I used to love that game. And seriously, my honey and I, we started playing it and playing it and playing it, and I'm having a blast, you know, just reconnecting with even checkers, right? People can go to the thrift stores and collect those sorts of things as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Thrift stores, antique stores, anything that trips the nostalgia and simplifying things is fantastic. Have you been to Lark Toys and done their Memory Lane walk at all?
No. Where's that?
Oh, I love it. It's Lost Art Revival. I can't remember what it stands for. I'm blanking out. I'm sorry. But it's Lark Toys, and it's this phenomenal, basically a mini mall that is south of Wabasha in Kellogg. And they're the ones that have that fabulous carousel that you can ride for, like, it's $1 or $3.
Oh, right.
And there's the otter and the bison and the goldfish and the wizard. But they've got this memory lane part, and it has all these glass cases just stuffed with the best toys and games from every era. And it's such a hoot to go through there and just remember that, or my sister had that, or my best friend had that, and I was always so jealous. And it's just hilarious just to stand there and listen to other people walk by too and share their memories, because those memories of toys and childhood are just, they're great. They're so much fun to listen to, and you can buy a lot of the nostalgic toys too if you can't find them at thrift stores. But that's a great place to start looking, and some of them are being reissued. But it's just fun to kind of reconnect with those old memories and why a particular toy stood out to you.
Yeah, of course, I remember ugly ties and ugly socks. Let me tell you something about ugly socks. The thing I love about them, I can tear them up, honey, and just say, I love you, but you have to go now. Because people are going to see you in those socks because they're so warm, right? And then you feel so good in them. And then people are going, why, Geraldine? Why are you doing that? Why?
Yeah.
So, There's that. Anything else you would advise people to really look for? Some people will go to the same store that they love every year. I like the idea of spreading out and see what else I can find. You agree?
I do. It's hard not to have your favorite place. I'm kind of a nature geek, so I really like state park kinds of visitor centers and those more nature-oriented stores. But, you know, stick with what you love. If it's books, go for the bookstores. If you're love, like, craft brews, I mean, you could put together some great gifts with just different craft brews and bottles and things, or gourmet sodas. I mean, it's just so many specialty shops. You can have fun no matter what you love.
I agree with that, Lisa. It has been a pleasure having you join us tonight. I hope you get to join us next year as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Right.
I hope you have a good holiday and get to be in the stores that make you feel good and not want to run out the door.
And the website, I understand, is exploreminnesota.com/article/best-holiday-shopping-minnesota-towns. Is that your website?
That's one of the articles I wrote, yes.
Okay.
So I've
right.
been writing articles for 20-some years, and I have a new edition of a Day Trips book coming out next year. So
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Kind of my gig.
That's your thing, man. That's your thing. Well, thank you. I look forward to actually meeting you in person. So thank you, Lisa Myers McClintic.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a break. Should we take a break, Jonathan? Yes, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with any of your calls at 651-461-9226 if you want to join us and talk about some of the places that you've been where you found some really funny, funky stuff, because that would be really funny, fun to talk about. We'll be back. It is now 8:46 here at WCCO. If you want to call in at 651-461-9226 and let us know of some really interesting, unusual places you go to get some holiday, you know, purchases for family members or children or whomever it is, because there are so many places that I've heard about. People keep telling me, saying, you got to go try this out. And some of them are new stores, but most of the old stores, the old places that people go to and they find gems, is what I really like to do. I must say that Lisa loves the whole holiday season shopping, and I do too. I have taken my grandchildren with me, and I have to tell you, you know, when it comes to socks, like warm socks, ugly socks, I'm talking, I've seen some seriously ugly socks, y'all. I'm talking about ugly, ugly. Show enough ugly, okay? And it tickled me so bad. My daughter loves warm socks. She doesn't care if they're ugly or beautiful. You know, she has some, it might be an alligator's mouth open, you know, where her toes are. And, you know, sometimes there's holes in them. I mean, this woman, she wears them out, y'all. She does. And I don't blame her because they're so warm. I appreciate that. So for all of the people who do all of these crafts, I want you to know how grateful I am that you do them, because there are blankets for children, blankets for adults. When it is winter and it is show enough cold, you know, when they start talking about 50 below or something like that, you want to keep your toes. I know you want to keep your toes. So go to some of these places where you can find used clothing, used books, used toys for the holidays. It doesn't have to be where you spend a ton of money. It does not. One thing I keep teaching my grandchildren, I keep saying to them, we are family. Family is important. We are family. Tell them every time you can. We are family. Take them shopping with you. Say to them, no, I'm not going to buy that video game for you. That's what we don't need that for Christmas. We don't need that for the holidays. What we need is to know that we love one another. Let's cook together, right? Let's have really free time with one another. How about the oldest granddaughter? It's the one that tells us, okay, this is how I'm going to set the table for Thanksgiving this year, right? How about that? Let them help doing that. That's what I do. I want to make sure that they understand the importance of us gathering together for the holidays. For the holidays. It's important, and it's a way to hopefully keep us together. Now, with all of the government stuff that's happening, all of the politics that is happening in our nation, if we don't get past this whole idea of what I believe, what you believe, and who's right and who's wrong, if we don't get past that, forget about it. Seriously. It's going to go away. because our children are watching. They are learning how we, the adults, they're watching us. They're listening. Even if you think they're not listening, they're listening. And they're learning to do it your way. And if your way is the way where the family is not going to be able to come together, then that's a problem. Jonathan, do you remember when we had this whole problem with holidays, especially Thanksgiving and the holidays in December? And people would not invite their family over. They wouldn't talk to each other, all because of politics. Do you remember that?
Remember. Now, I will say this. I personally have not been in that situation. I'm glad I haven't been in that situation. Mm-hmm. But remember, it's happening today.
It is happening.
It's going to happen in a week and a half when people are sitting down on Thursday the
23rd.
On the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And people are sitting down saying, hey, pass the gravy. Who are you voting for?
Pass the gravy. Who are you voting for? That's for real, you guys. That is absolutely for real. And if we don't deal with it every time it comes around, and even before that, maybe the families can start talking about it in May. How about that? And then you've got all these months before you even get to the holidays. How about that? We have got to start talking to one another. How many times have your children come home, especially high schoolers? They come home and they say, hey, Mom, I didn't know that there was so-and-so, you know, a leader in our country who did not want to do what the president said or did not want to act like a civilized person. How about that? That's ridiculous. I don't want to see people like that. Or maybe they think it's funny. That's the time when parents have to step in and make sure that their children know where their parents stand. It's okay to tell them, especially if they're, you know, junior high, high school, college. Talk about it. Even in elementary school, they are taking books out, right? The children need to know why they're doing that. Now, some people would say to me, oh, Geraldine, come on. The children don't need to know that. They don't even understand that. There are ways to make sure that they understand it. And that is on us as parents, us as guardians. Our words mean a lot. So if you think that what you say to your children or the neighbor's children and so on, if you think it's not that important, that's on you. That's on you, because I promise you it's really important. So even though we know how this works every year, Jonathan said it best. We are still doing that. Don't invite Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so because we don't like them. How about you try to amend that relationship? How about that? Just try it. This is a great time to do it. You don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. Do it before Thanksgiving. Go knock on the door. Ring the doorbell. Call them. Tell them, hey, I care about you. I miss you. I would love to see you. My children don't know you well enough. And you're part of the family? What? It's too important. Get it done. And get it done as quickly as possible.
Here's the question, though. Who's the onus on for the apology?
Everybody. Everyone. If the children heard the parents talking about it, make sure they say, I'm so sorry, Mom. I heard your conversation. I should not have said that. No, you should not have said that, honey. That is not up to you. However, it's not you. It's us, the adults, and we're getting there. Encourage them to believe that the family is healing. That's what I believe, Jonathan. And the children are the ones that are going to fix all of this. This generation, I tell my granddaughter who's 11 years old, honey, you got to stay clear. You got to make sure you do all that you can do because your generation has a whole lot to do. They got a whole lot of splaining to do. And they got a lot to work on to heal. And I believe they'll be able to do it if we just let them do it. So stop the fighting. Stop the screaming. Stop it. Have fun this holiday season. Have fun. Call people in your neighborhood you don't even like and say, hey, we haven't gotten along for a long time, but can we just talk? Can I just sit down and talk with you? I don't care if you're sitting on their outdoor patio or on their steps. Or you invite them over and say, I miss you. We've been in this neighborhood together for a long time. I miss you. I miss you. It doesn't hurt to say that. It's healing to say that. So please, those that are thinking, no way. I'm not talking to Aunt so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so. No, thank you. They're not going to do anything but come in and talk mess. And then the Trump word comes out. Remember that? The Trump word, when it was so bad and people were getting together with family that only believe in their beliefs. And if Trump was it, oh, it was a big deal. We don't have to keep living like this. We can actually change and do better. I know I want to do better. I want to do better. So I hope you do too. Even if you think it's the wrong thing to do, it can also be fun. Find another way. Make some gigantic cookies and make sure everybody put their own face on it. And then eat it. Each person eat a piece of that person's face. And maybe just swallowing that could do some healing.
I'm talking about a big cookie.
Have you ever seen those big cookies?
What are we talking about here?
Big cookies.
Talking about eating people's faces and swallowing the face. What is this?
What I am saying is healing. All I'm saying that it is healing. Whatever you have to do to heal the anger in these families, and there are so many families like this that fight. I am so grateful, Jonathan, that I am one that does not have a family that is fighting.
It's a gift. You are absolutely correct. That is a gift. This is a totally weird way to say walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
That's right. Get that big cookie.
Eat their face off a cookie.
Put the picture on there because you can
face
go do that.
Off a cookie.
That's right. Put the picture. If you can put your picture on a cake at a birthday party, surely you can put your picture on a cookie.
I wouldn't tell.
Put it on the cookie and y'all eat it together.
I wouldn't tell anybody to eat anybody's face off of anything.
Okay, I'm going to go get one.
No matter how delicious it is, I'm going to go get one with your face on it.
That'll be fun.
Just don't leave it in the street so people run over with their cars.
You wouldn't care. You wouldn't care if that cookie broke. You wouldn't care, dude. Hey, I got to get you something for the holidays this year.
You should put a cookie with my face on it with me saying, not the face. Don't touch the face. That's what you should do.
Don't touch the face.
Don't touch the face. You can hurt anything else but the face. Don't touch the face.
It'll just be your ears that we see, huh? There you go. Scary. Thank you so much for sticking to stand for this hour. Coming up next is Center Stage. We're going to have a really good time, and I hope you stick and stay with us. We'll be back. It is now 8:46 here at WCCO. If you want to call in at 651-461-9226 and let us know of some really interesting, unusual places you go to get some holiday, you know, purchases for family members or children or whomever it is, because there are so many places that I've heard about. People keep telling me, saying, you got to go try this out. And some of them are new stores, but most of the old stores, the old places that people go to and they find gems is what I really like to do. I must say that Lisa loves the whole holiday season shopping, and I do too. I have taken my grandchildren with me, and I have to tell you, you know, when it comes to socks, like warm socks, ugly socks, I'm talking, I've seen some seriously ugly socks, y'all. I'm talking about ugly, ugly. Show enough ugly, okay? And it tickled me so bad. My daughter loves warm socks. She doesn't care if they're ugly or beautiful. You know, she has some, it might be an alligator's mouth open, you know, where her toes are. And, you know, sometimes there's holes in them. I mean, this woman, she wears them out, y'all. She does. And I don't blame her because they're so warm. I appreciate that. So for all of the people who do all of these crafts, I want you to know how grateful I am that you do them, because there are blankets for children, blankets for adults. When it is winter and it is show enough cold, you know, when they start talking about 50 below or something like that, you want to keep your toes. I know you want to keep your toes. So go to some of these places where you can find used clothing, used books, used toys for the holidays. It doesn't have to be where you spend a ton of money. It does not. One thing I keep teaching my grandchildren, I keep saying to them, we are family. Family is important. We are family. Tell them every time you can. We are family. Take them shopping with you. Say to them, no, I'm not going to buy that video game for you. That's what we don't need that for Christmas. We don't need that for the holidays. What we need is to know that we love one another. Let's cook together, right? Let's have really free time with one another. How about the oldest granddaughter is the one that tells us, okay, this is how I'm going to set the table for Thanksgiving this year, right? How about that? Let them help doing that. That's what I do. I want to make sure that they understand the importance of us gathering together for the holidays. For the holidays. It's important, and it's a way to hopefully keep us together. Now, with all of the government stuff that's happening, all of the politics that is happening in our nation, if we don't get past this whole idea of what I believe, what you believe, and who's right and who's wrong, if we don't get past that, forget about it. Seriously. It's going to go away because our children are watching. They are learning how we, the adults, they're watching us. They're listening. Even if you think they're not listening, they're listening. And they're learning to do it your way. And if your way is the way where the family is not going to be able to come together, then that's a problem. Jonathan, do you remember when we had this whole problem with holidays, especially Thanksgiving and the holidays in December? And people would not invite their family over. They wouldn't talk to each other, all because of politics. Do you remember that?
Remember. Now, I will say this. I personally have not been in that situation. I'm glad I haven't been in that situation. Mm-hmm. But remember, it's happening today.
It is happening.
It's going to happen in a week and a half when people are sitting down on Thursday the
23rd.
On the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And people are sitting down saying, hey, pass the gravy. Who are you voting for?
Pass the gravy. Who are you voting for? That's for real, you guys. That is absolutely for real. And if we don't deal with it every time it comes around, and even before that, maybe the families can start talking about it in May. How about that? And then you've got all these months before you even get to the holidays. How about that? We have got to start talking to one another. How many times have your children come home, especially high schoolers? They come home and they say, hey, Mom, I didn't know that there was so-and-so, you know, a leader in our country who did not want to do what the president said or did not want to act like a civilized person. How about that? That's ridiculous. I don't want to see people like that. Or maybe they think it's funny. That's the time when parents have to step in and make sure that their children know where their parents stand. It's okay to tell them, especially if they're, you know, junior high school, college. Talk about it. Even in elementary school, they are taking books out, right? The children need to know why they're doing that. Now, some people would say to me, oh, Geraldine, come on. The children don't need to know that. They don't even understand that. There are ways to make sure that they understand it. And that is on us as parents, us as guardians. Our words mean a lot. So if you think that what you say to your children or the neighbor's children and so on, if you think it's not that important, that's on you. That's on you, because I promise you it's really important. So even though we know how this works every year, Jonathan said it best. We are still doing that. Don't invite Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so because we don't like them. How about you try to amend that relationship? How about that? Just try it. This is a great time to do it. You don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. Do it before Thanksgiving. Go knock on the door. Ring the doorbell. Call them. Tell them, hey, I care about you. I miss you. I would love to see you. My children don't know you well enough. And you're part of the family? What? It's too important. Get it done. And get it done as quickly as possible.
Here's the question, though. Who's the onus on for the apology?
Everybody. Everyone. If the children heard the parents talking about it, make sure they say, I'm so sorry, Mom. I heard your conversation. I should not have said that. No, you should not have said that, honey. That is not up to you. However, it's not you. It's us, the adults. And we're getting there. encourage them to believe that the family is healing. That's what I believe, Jonathan. And the children are the ones that are going to fix all of this. This generation, I tell my granddaughter who's 11 years old, honey, you got to stay clear. You got to make sure you do all that you can do because your generation has a whole lot to do. They got a whole lot of splaining to do, and they got a lot to work on to heal. And I believe they'll be able to do it if we just let them do it. So stop the fighting. Stop the screaming. Stop it. Have fun this holiday season. Have fun. Call people in your neighborhood you don't even like and say, hey, we haven't gotten along for a long time, but can we just talk? Can I just sit down and talk with you? I don't care if you're sitting on their outdoor patio or on their steps, or you invite them over and say, I miss you. We've been in this neighborhood together for a long time. I miss you. I miss you. It doesn't hurt to say that. It's healing to say that. So please, those that are thinking, no way, I'm not talking to Aunt so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so. No, thank you. They're not going to do anything but come in and talk mess. And then the Trump word comes out. Remember that? The Trump word, when it was so bad and people were getting together with family that only believe in their beliefs. And if Trump was it, oh, it was a big deal. We don't have to keep living like this. We can actually change and do better. I know I want to do better. I want to do better. So I hope you do too. Even if you think it's the wrong thing to do, it can also be fun. Find another way. Make some gigantic cookies and make sure everybody put their own face on it. And then eat it. Each person eat a piece of that person's face. And maybe just swallowing that could do some healing. Listen to me now. I'm talking about a big cookie. Have you ever seen those big cookies?
What are we talking about here?
Big cookies.
Talk about eating people's faces and swallowing the face. What is this?
What I am saying is, what are we talking about here? All I'm saying that it is healing. Whatever you have to do to heal the anger in these families, and there are so many families like this that fight. I am so grateful, Jonathan, that I am one that does not have a family that is fighting.
That is very...
It's a gift.
That is a... You are absolutely correct. That is a gift. This is a totally weird way to say walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
That's right. Get that big cookie.
Eat their face off a cookie.
Put the picture on there because you can go do that.
Off a cookie.
That's right. Put the picture. If you can put your picture on a cake at a birthday party, surely you can put your picture on a cookie.
I wouldn't tell.
Put it on the cookie and y'all eat it together.
I wouldn't tell anybody to eat anybody's face off of anything.
Okay, I'm going to go get one.
No matter how delicious it is, I'm going to go get one with your face on it.
That'll be fun.
Just don't leave it in the street so people run over with their cars.
Oh, that would not look good. No, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care if that cookie broke. You wouldn't care, dude. Hey, I got to get you something for the holidays this year.
You should put a cookie with my face on it with me saying, not the face. Don't touch the face. That's what you should do.
Don't touch the face.
Don't touch the face. You can hurt anything else but the face. Don't touch the face.
It'll just be your ears that we see, huh? There you go. Scary. Thank you so much for sticking to stand for this hour. Coming up next is Center Stage. We're going to have a really good time, and I hope you stick and stay with us. We'll be back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.